I would sit on the couch at 9, 10 at night and eat a Dairy Milk bar. And I'm not talking about the little Dairy Milk bar. It's like the share size bar. And I wouldn't be consciously doing it. It was just habit. So I guess I fell into bad habits and fell into that trap of the same routine every night of snacking on the couch.
Losing weight isn't easy. And some days we can feel like we need some extra help. Welcome to the Weight Loss Warrior podcast, the show where we share inspiring real-life success stories from normal, everyday people like you and I. Listen to how each of our guests managed to overcome their personal challenges to lose the weight they wanted, as they talk about the secrets to their success and give great advice that you can benefit from. Become part of our tribe and use the Weight Loss Warrior podcast as your source of motivation and support to help you on your weight loss transformation. And now, your host and friend, Carl Radley.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Weight Loss Warrior podcast. My name's Carl. Welcome to the show. Today, I've got an amazing guest here to share her journey of losing 150 pounds. She's from County Meath in Ireland. Amy, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Great. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm really, really happy to chat with you.
It's brilliant. And, you know, we've been talking a little bit via Instagram and messaging about your journey and how you've achieved it and everything that's come as a benefit of that. And I can't wait to share the story and also find out a bit more myself. So why don't we start off by you telling us a little bit about yourself?
So, Carl, as you said, I live in County Meath in Ireland. I am a mum of two little boys and I am married to my husband, Chris, since last February 23. And I guess he and us getting married was the reason for my weight loss.
Okay. So had you struggled with your weight for a long period of time leading up to you deciding to get married?
Yeah. So I'd always been heavy. Like when I was a kid, I was a big chubby kid. And I always say to people when they ask me that question, you know, I never felt different. Yes, I knew I was overweight, but I never felt extremely different. And what I mean by that is I wasn't bullied. I had lots of friends and my weight didn't hinder me that much. So I was always overweight and I tried everything out there. So I was even dieting as an 11, 12 year old. And when I say dieting, it would have been kind of being conscious maybe of what I was eating. And diets weren't huge back then, but as big as they are now, especially with kids. But yeah, I guess I had tried every diet in the book from when I was extremely young to when I actually had my success. In 2022. You name it, I've tried it, Carl. Like everything from Weight Watchers, Atkins, the cabbage soup diet, the cayenne pepper diet, everything. Mm. I tried absolutely everything. And yes, it had worked short term for me. But for me, when I lost a bit of weight, I thought, sure, I'm fine now. And then I just go back to square one and put on more weight and be back heavier than I was when I first started.
And I think this is something that happens to so many of us. I know listening to your story there, this is something that's been typical for me as well. And I was, as a chubby ginger kid, I think very, very lucky at school, but I didn't get bullied because I used to see people get bullied for far less. And I guess looking at it from an aspect of how I was a perfect target, but I managed to get away with it. And I like to think, you know, through my personality and because it didn't bother me, it wasn't a problem for me at the time until it became.
I completely agree with you. This is my natural hair color. I was a redhead in school with freckles, tons of freckles, so pale. Mm-hmm. And yes, like you said, a target for the bullies, but I mean, I had lots of friends and I guess my personality as well. I wasn't extremely shy. So I think if I had been really shy or a bit of a loner, you know, it would have been completely different.
Of course. And not only that, I think the way you manage it and react, because I mean, my nickname for a long time was Ginge. And it wasn't like I had a problem with that. It was absolutely fine. And apart from, I think, I've talked about it before, getting stuck under a bed on a school trip because my bum was so big. I didn't really suffer because I was overweight. And it wasn't really till I became a teenager and an adult where I felt a bit more uncomfortable about myself that it started to have more of an impact. So for you in your 20s then, you know, you went through school okay, but in your 20s, was it something you were conscious of, or did you continue to be happy with being overweight? Or I'll rephrase it. You know what I mean? Necessarily being happy with being overweight, but it didn't get in the way of your life.
Do you know what? It did and it didn't. And that's being completely honest. There was times when it really didn't bother me because I kind of felt, you know what? I have my friends and I had a good kind of social life. I was going out. But there was times, you know, that I did kind of feel, oh my God. You know, when you're a teenager or you start going out when you're in college and then you see what other people are wearing and then you say, okay, well, I wish I could wear that. Or you go and kind of look for new clothes to wear that everyone else was wearing and it either didn't fit or you looked absolutely ridiculous. And so I guess I became extra conscious probably in my early 20s. Yeah, I was extra conscious in my early 20s. Do you know when kind of you were starting to meet boys and your friends were getting boyfriends and obviously you'd start comparing your own life to your friends. And I guess that's when it kind of started to maybe get me down a little bit.
Of course. And yeah, again, I can completely resonate to it. And I don't know if it was just bad luck, but two of my best friends are extremely good looking boys and very athletic. So I kind of stuck out like a bit of a sore thumb, but I mean, it didn't stop me, you know, having some success and meeting people and enjoying that part of my life. But at the same time, like you say, the separation that begins and it becomes more notable when you do look at relationships and things and can impact you. And it's not to say that if you are overweight, that you shouldn't be in a relationship or you can't find somebody who loves you for you. Because I mean, I was overweight when I met my wife and there's these things that can happen, but at the same time, the quality of life that you have, being healthy, there's many other aspects to it as well that can have an impact. And you said earlier, Amy, that it was when you decided to get married that you wanted to lose weight. So would imagine you were overweight when you met your husband, Chris. One of the things I wanted to ask, because this was something that previous guest, I think, I want to say Sarah, from a few episodes ago now, but said that she was happy the fact that she was overweight when she met her husband because she knew that he loved her for her. So when she lost the weight, whereas a lot of people are very self-conscious that they don't have an issue with their weight. They gain weight, be it through pregnancy, be it through, you know, becoming comfortable, changes of circumstances, medical issues, but then feel unattractive to their partner because that's not how they were when they met them.
Yeah.
So did that give you any kind of reassurance or comfort knowing that he loved you the way you were in that instance?
Yeah. So when I met my husband, I had been in a long-term relationship before I met him, but I never felt completely secure in it for a lot of different reasons. It wasn't just personal reasons. But when I met my husband, he was the only person that I had met that made me feel loved for everything about me. And I'd say he would have given me more confidence in myself as well, because I knew he genuinely loved me for me. And it actually makes it, because I never really think about it until, you know, you're put on the spot and you're asked about it. Yeah, he's the only person that kind of made me feel comfortable in myself and not so self-conscious. So I'm happy I met him when I did, because I know he loved me for me. And things haven't changed since me losing weight. So it's not as if he's shown me more affection now that I've lost the weight. Things are the exact same. I'm a lot more happier in myself. I'm a lot more confident in myself. But with him, things are the exact same. He just sees a happier Amy, a lot, much, much happier Amy.
Which must have a positive impact on yourself, on your relationship in general, because you mentioned the word security there. And feeling secure in yourself and feeling secure in the relationships that you have, I think is so important. And mm-hmm. I think the way that you feel about yourself, now you could have a great relationship with your husband, with your children, with your colleagues, but when you feel it genuinely from the inside, I think the way you show up to those different relationships is improved. And it only has a positive benefit to that. And not just necessarily the way you treat other people, but how you feel about those from a day-to-day aspect.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. I mean, I remember for the longest time, we were together, I want to say 7 years. So that was me at my heaviest. And I was, you know, every couple of weeks, and then it got to every maybe couple of days, I'd say to him, oh my God, mm-hmm. I feel so rubbish in myself and I'm definitely going to do something. And this was for 7 years, me saying this. And I'm sure he had a pain in his face of listening to me so unhappy. I'm sure he wanted to say, you just do it. But you know what? He never once said, Amy, I think you need to do this or I think you need to do that. He never once kind of said, he never once criticized how I looked or, you know, he supported me when I did say I wanted to do something about it. And he said, you know, if you want to do it, do it. You know, I'll support you 100%. But he never once made me felt like I had to do it. So it was my own decision to actually take the step and do it.
So that's absolutely amazing. And I think, Amy, like you said, when it comes from yourself and you don't feel under pressure to do it, it also sets you up in the best way to actually make a success of the journey that you're going on. And, you know, I'd like to move on to that now and hear more about that, because we haven't mentioned it yet, but I understand that you lost 150 pounds by calorie counting. And for a lot of the guests that I've had on the show, they've normally fell into it or tried various things, but I've had less people who have done calorie counting, which made me want to interview you even more to hear about it, because it's a considerable amount of weight. But having done calorie counting myself, realized that it can take a bit of getting into and changing habits and time as well. I remember when I first started, it took me ages weighing everything out and doing it and tracking it. But for a lot of people, it can be overwhelming. So tell me about your decision to calorie count and how that went for you in the early stages.
So as I said to you, I tried everything in the book before. So I said, okay, none of that has worked for me. I need something long-term that's going to, you know, be a complete lifestyle change. It's not going to be a quick fix. And so I began calorie counting. Now, Carl, for me, I was lucky compared to other people that, you know, are trying to lose weight. And I knew what foods were good and what foods were bad. So I went in with a bit of knowledge. Like, lucky for me, the foods I like are salads. The food I eat, so much fruit and veg. So it's not as if I had to completely change my diet and that I was eating sugar and rubbish every single day, all day, every day. That wasn't the case for me. I just kind of had to. My problem, I guess, was portion control. So I love potatoes and meat, vegetables. I just love too much of them.
So
I
was going to ask.
A ton. Now, don't get me wrong. I would sit on the couch at 9:10 at night and eat a dairy milk bar. And I'm not talking about the little dairy milk bar from a shop. It's like the share size bar. And I wouldn't be consciously doing it. It was just habit. So if you do that two, mm-hmm. three, four, five nights a week of a share bar, like you're going to be big. You know what I mean?
Of course.
So I guess I fell into bad habits and fell into that trap of kind of the same routine every night of snacking on the couch. So when I started my calorie counting, a lot of it involved kind of obviously planning what you're going to eat and weighing every single thing you're going to eat as well. So the only thing I really needed to start was a weighing scales, a kitchen scales, and a fridge full of food that I would have had anyway, the likes of salads and veg. And it was just a matter of weighing out everything that I was eating and logging it. So there's loads of apps out there, I'm sure you know, for logging all your food. And I gave myself a certain calorie allowance each day, and I'd stick to that and log everything I ate. And I've become a pro at it because it's just a habit now where everything I put in my mouth is logged, everything.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, with time, it does become easy. And I know some people who still follow a calorie controlled diet or track their calories, but I guess that there's probably maybe 15 to 20 meals that each of us eat on a regular basis on rotation. And, you know, I read that somewhere. I have never sat down and counted, but knowing the way that we eat, it's probably true, you know, between 15 to 20 meals on a regular basis we have. And once you know the calories in them, I was tracking calories and protein intake. And still am, because for me, they're the two key things. And I think for anyone who wants to start calorie counting, that would be my advice. Focus first on your calorie target. Use it like a budget and don't exceed that. And focus on the protein, because that's really quite important in terms of all round health. Your carbs, the fat intake can vary without too much impact. Obviously, if it's low carbs, it might impact the amount of energy you have. But for me, that was the two main pieces of criteria I wanted to meet every time.
Yeah.
And it was very repetitive to begin with, because I would batch cook something, split it into portions, knowing exactly how many calories. And I still do that to some extent now, but there's just more variation.
Yeah.
And did you find it easy then, because of the fact that you were eating the similar foods, but just controlling the portions? Was it a big shock to you when you started reducing those portions and maybe reducing the amount of chocolate you would have snacking in front of the telly of an evening? Was it difficult, or was it something that you took to quite easily?
Like any diet, the first 3 or 4 days are the worst, and you're in bad form, and you're cranky, and you're thinking, oh my God, this is a disaster. But once I got over those initial 3 or 4 days, I was fine. Yes, I had to get used to the smaller portions. And another thing, Carl, that I did was I stopped eating at 7 p.m. each night. And that was just a choice I made, because sometimes I used to feel snacking on the couch, you'd go to bed full, you'd wake up feeling absolutely rotten, your sleep would be interrupted. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't good for me. So I said, okay, I'll stop eating after 7 p.m. And it's the best thing I ever did. Because I'm going to bed, I'm having a really, really nice sleep. I'm waking up feeling great and ready for my breakfast, as opposed to waking up feeling sluggish and full and sick. So that was one thing that I've kept doing. So I still to this day will not eat past 7 o'clock. Now, of course, if I'm on holidays or you're at a wedding or something like that, it's different. But, you know, almost every week it's 7 p.m. That's my cutoff. And then I won't eat till 7 the next morning. And
that's great. And I think it's a really good approach.
Yeah.
Having those boundaries.
Yeah, big time. And I also gave up, well, have limited a lot of carbs. And by that, I mean potatoes and rice, pasta, sauces, butter. And that's a personal choice, because when I have them, I've noticed I haven't been feeling well. So my tummy will feel really bloated. And I just will feel generally unwell after eating them. So I don't go near any breads, which I still love to this day. And that was a huge adjustment for me as well, as giving up breads. Like, there's nothing better than having a white bread sandwich with like Hellmann's mayonnaise, ham, tomato, crisps on the side. I will still crave that, but I feel rubbish after it. So I've eliminated all that. And it was hard for me in the beginning, because I'd be making sandwiches here for my kids. Or when you're on holidays, when you're in Spain, they give you the bread at the start of a meal and the gorgeous butter and the olives. Oh my God, it's delicious. And I've just learned to say no. And it's a habit now where I just won't even think about the bread and I won't think about any of that. And having said that, if I'm going out for a meal to our favorite restaurant, I'll still have champ potato. I'll still have sauces. It's just on my usual day to day, Monday to Friday at home here, I won't go near any of that. So,
and I think this is key. And sorry, carry on.
I think at the beginning, it was a huge adjustment, but because I eliminated them, I just don't think about it anymore. And now that I've kind of reached my goal weight, I can allow myself to have these things every so often. So it's a treat when I do get it and I do enjoy it and I don't feel like I'm completely restricting myself from it.
And that's important and that's the key. And what I was going to say there is that working with a client, so I do working on mindset, understanding this kind of 80-20 rule of the day-to-day eating, the habits that you create in your lifestyle when just it's normal life. That's really where the progress and success comes from. And then allowing yourself that other 20% for special occasions, when you go to restaurants, if there's an event, when you're on holiday, and ahead of time being completely okay with that and knowing that there are certain things you have limited and have less of these days, but you are still going to enjoy it because ultimately you like them.
Yeah.
So I think that's absolutely key. And it sounds like you had a relatively healthy diet in terms of the foods you ate, in terms of nutrition, which is very important. And then just adjusting those portions to be able to stay within the amount of calories your body needed on a regular basis. But like you say, here for Spain, the Mediterranean diet on one side is very healthy, fresh, natural ingredients, but there's oil with everything. There's bread with tomato on. It's very easy to go over that. Olives, for example, one of the highest calorific foods. They are absolutely delicious. And if you're not careful, you're eating them without any kind of thought. And not taking into account the amount of calories. So this is why calorie counting has been so helpful, because it gives you a better knowledge. And it's not to necessarily say foods are good or bad, but just to give you the awareness of if you eat a large portion of that, this is the impact that it's going to have and take out of your calorie budget on a daily basis, which I think is so key. And so I wanted to ask Amy, did you begin losing weight quite rapidly? Did you see the difference? Was it I know that no journey is linear, but for you, because I think you started, I'd written it down, but you started in 2022, didn't you? And so we're only just, so not even early 2022. So it's really, you know, just over a year or a year and a half since you done that. And 150 pounds in a year and a half, however long since you hit your target, is a very short time. So I would imagine that it was quite linear. In fact, in the way that week after week, you must have been seeing quite regular losses. Tell me more about that.
So, when I started in September 22, we had just gotten engaged. So that was the kick up the bone that I needed to start the weight loss, because we were actually getting married 6 months after we got engaged. And so I was on kind of I had very kind of little time. A lot of people, when they're losing weight for a wedding, might have a year and a half to lose weight, whereas I had 6 months. So that was my goal, was to lose weight and lose as much weight as I can, but not in a like starve myself way, but in a healthy way, but lose as much weight as I can between now and the wedding. So when my first week, I think I lost 6 or 7 pounds. But like any diet that anybody tries, when they have a lot of weight to lose, you're going to lose a lot of weight the first week. A lot of it is water. And so you do see results, but that kind of spurred me on to keep going and give it my all. So, I did have losses every week, almost every week. There was weeks, you know, for many reasons. It seemed to be every 4 weeks. It seems to be this way for a lot of women. Every 4 weeks, you might either maintain or you could be up. Which was really kind of disappointing. But after like 3 or 4 months, you nearly get to know your body and nearly expect, okay, I'm going to be up this week. and you'll have done the exact same thing that you did the previous week when you've had losses, but through whatever reason, the scales haven't moved. And it's disheartening to this day when I get on the scales and I've had a really good week and the scales are up and you're thinking, I feel like now, a year and a half in, I should be kind of more accepting of it, but it's disappointing, but you do get used to it. But I did have good losses every week, probably on average about 2 to 3 pounds a week, which I was really, really happy with.
Of course, that's quite an aggressive amount, like for losing weight on a consistent basis, but I wouldn't say necessarily unhealthy. And as long as you're feeding yourself with the nutrition and your calories aren't dipping low and too low and you feel okay in yourself, again, you have all the data there. So if you know you're feeling like low energy, okay, you can increase your carbs. If you're not gaining weight fast enough, maybe you can drop another 100 calories or so on a regular basis. You know, you're talking about, for women especially, during your cycle, if you find yourself on a maintain or bloated and gaining weight, I think it can be disheartening from everything that I've learned. Or even for men, just because for whatever reason, you haven't lost weight, but you feel like you've really made an effort and you deserved it. But the things that I think to always remember is that there's a big difference between weight gain and fat gain. And trusting in the process, I think, is so key. Because like you say, if you've not changed anything in your diet, if you've maintained the same level of exercise from one week to the next, and the previous week you'd lost 2 pounds, and this week you haven't, I think it's so key to zoom out a little bit and look at the bigger picture, trust in the process, and understand that, okay, the scales haven't gone in the direction I want to. However, I know that I'm following the same process that has helped me every week lose weight, and I'll continue that and I'll be okay with it. And trying to train your brain to be okay with it, I think, is absolutely essential, ultimately, to avoid that disappointment.
Absolutely. And I think that's one thing I have to improve on, is not be so disappointed or annoyed or angry when I do see the scales increase. But I guess it's, you know, when you've had a loss for so long, so every week has been a loss and a loss and a loss. Now that I'm at maintenance, Carl, I'm finding this harder than the weight loss, believe it or not.
Yeah. I completely believe it. I've been there.
And
what is it you struggle with specifically, Amy? Tell me.
I guess what I struggle with is, in my head, I said, when I lose all this weight and I'm at my goal weight, life is going to be brilliant. It's going to be super easy. I'm going to eat what I want. But I'll never go back to where I was. And now that I'm here, what I struggle with is just the balance, Carl. Like, I still continue to weigh myself every week. Well, every couple of days, just to keep an eye on things. And I will be doing the same thing consistently, and the scales will go up. And I was on holiday last week. I came home and I was calorie counting as well as I could when I was away. But you know yourself, it's hard when you're eating out in restaurants. But I still brought my weighing scales with me and weighed and logged my calories for the things I could. And I did eat wisely over there. But when I came home, I got on the scales and I had lost like 3 or 4 pounds. And I couldn't understand, how have I lost weight? When I haven't been 100%, you know, counting my calories. And kind of eating desserts, not many, but, you know, I kind of was treating myself. And I did exercise when I was away, but I just couldn't understand how I'd lost weight. Anyway, came home, back into my calorie counting routine and logging everything and exercising and running. And this week I'm up like 3 or 4 pounds. And I just, like, I'm still frustrated and I'll still say to my husband, oh my God, I'm so annoyed. I'm so annoyed. And a year and a half in, it still annoys me. But that's something I have to learn to just accept and deal with.
I think it's natural to feel that disappointment. And one of the things that I try and work on with my clients is not necessarily to try and stop that feeling of disappointment or try and prevent those negative emotions from creeping in, because ultimately they're going to happen. It's how you manage them, process them, and bring balance in by counteracting them with something more positive. Or, like I said earlier, zooming out and looking at the bigger picture and understanding that it is just data. And if you can take the emotion out of it, it can be helpful. But sometimes there's no rhyme or reason as to why it is in a certain way. And in the weeks where, like you say, you're completely on track, everything's fine, and you gain weight compared to a holiday where you lose weight, it just seems complicated and disappointing and, you know, out of your control to some aspect. But then if you zoom out and look over the course of 3 months at how your weight has been and how things are, you'll probably see very little difference or movement. But it's just, I smiled earlier when you said about being at maintenance is harder than losing weight. And I 100% agree with that, because there'll be weeks, and we've spoken about it on here before, that there'll be weeks where you lose 0.5 pound. There'll be weeks where you lose 4 pounds. But as long as there's a loss on the scale, you don't really care and you're happy because it's moving in the right direction. Whereas maintenance is a much trickier game, because first of all, there's not the reward. You're not seeking that reward. It doesn't feel as good being at the same weight as it does having a 3 pound loss from 1 week to the next. Not only that, the calories that you consume, like you say, you normally give yourself a little bit more leeway because you've achieved your goal. So you reintroduce certain foods that were maybe off limits or at least heavily restricted. And that can have an impact, because for every extra that you have, there has to be a sacrifice somewhere else, or you increase your exercise. And it feels much more like a tightrope walk, not wanting to go either way and not, you know, to do it. So I completely understand why it is tricky. But it sounds like, apart from the disappointment and managing some of the mindset things, that you are absolutely smashing it. And tell me some of the positive impacts that losing 150 pounds has had on your life.
I remember the first couple of weeks into my weight loss, I was going for my daily walk. So I was walking an hour each day. And I remember my husband was with me on one of them. And we were walking around a football pitch. So it was just laps around a football pitch. And he'd said, "Oh, Amy, I'm going to try and run for a little bit." And I remember he ran, say, the width, or it could have been the length of the pitch. And I tried to do the same. And after about 15, 20 seconds, I was dead. Like, couldn't breathe, had to stop. And I remember thinking, "Oh my God, you were so unfit." I never felt as unfit as I did in that moment. So The exercising for me every day, I grew to love. And Carl, now I'm running, I bought a treadmill, and I'm running like 12 to 15K on the treadmill now. And that's huge for me, because from going from not being able to run, you know, 20 seconds at like a jogging pace to now running, you know, an hour and a half on the treadmill and getting that 12 to 15K under my belt, is, it's a really, really great feeling. Cause I always kind of say, "Oh my God, like, look where you were," you know. And positive impact is going into a shop and being able to say, "I'll try on that dress," and you know it's going to fit. Not purchasing clothes because they fit you, but purchasing clothes because they look good on you. You know, before you go into a shop and you think, "Oh, I just want something to fit me, something that will cover me up." And now I actually enjoy shopping and, you know, being able to buy things that I actually like and that suit me. And then, like, just little things like having more energy for my kids, you know, it's great being able to take them out or encourage them. And, you know, I want them to look at me and see me exercise and want that for themselves, you know, kind of set a good example for them. I want to be here for them in 20, 30, 40 years. I still want to be here. You know, you hear of so many people that were overweight and, you know, they die young and the kids are left behind, and that scares me so much. And I just want to be the best I can be for my two boys, you know?
Of course. And for yourself as well. And that's what I think is so important. And we do see a lot more you know, weight related illness, disease that happens. And like you say, it's frightening as well when you think about your children may have to look after you or bury you much sooner than perhaps could have been. And this was certainly something for me. I know you're still in your 30s. I recently turned 40 and it was really like a landmark or a milestone for me in which I thought the effort that I make now is really going to have a huge impact in 20 years time, because your ability to bounce back, your ability to undo the damage becomes less and less. And, you know, your 20s, I've said this as well before, but in your 20s, you kind of feel unstoppable. It doesn't really matter. You know, you can drink three nights in a row and get up for work the next day and feel fine. Maybe not fine, but good enough, you know, whereas things in your late 30s and now turning 40, notice the aches and pains kick in, the fitness level. And then you see people who are in their 60s and the difference can be night and day. And I look at my father-in-law, for example. He goes walking, he does like 25,000 steps every day. He's 74 and he's in such good health and good shape, but because he made the effort in his 40s, in his 50s, and he's still got that health. Whereas I look at other people with a similar age who can't walk. And, you know, sometimes luck, I think, plays a part in that. But the more you look after yourself now, the better the odds are, you know, stacked in your favor. So it sounds like for you, it's discovering a love of running, you know, being able to have more energy for your kids. It sounds incredible, really.
Yeah. I remember, like, people would talk about running to me years ago, and I'd be like, oh, you know, everyone... It's very like when people get into their late 30s and early 40s, they discover this love of running, and it just used to bore me so much.
Huh? Oh, you're a runner.
Yeah.
No, when people are like, oh, so you run. Yeah, well done. Tell me all about it.
And now I'm one of those people. And it's just, but it really is. It makes me feel so good. It makes me feel so good. And it's one of the best. I never thought I'd be able to run like half a kilometer, never mind 15 kilometers, you know, but I've actually really enjoyed it. And I think what running, you're always setting yourself goals. So, you know, starting off for me, it was say, okay, we'll run a kilometer, and then you achieve that goal and you're always aiming higher, you know.
Absolutely.
So I would love to one day run a marathon. It makes me sick thinking about running a marathon, because right now I just don't think I'd be able for it, but I would love to do it. And I think since losing weight and knowing that I for one never thought I'd be able to lose the weight, and I have, so I know that, you know, anything is possible. So hopefully one day I will be able to run a marathon.
100%. And I'm sitting here smiling. I won't say her name for obvious reasons, but one of my clients, she's amazing. And if she's listening to this episode, you know exactly who you are. But she began doing a couch to 5K. And in one of the first sessions that we had with each other, she said, oh, one day I'd love to do a park run. And I was like, right, we're going to book it. Let's get it booked in. And it was like, no, I couldn't possibly. Booked it, ran it. Now planning her 10K, does park runs every weekend. And it just makes me so happy to know that our limiting beliefs can be broken. And in the same way, when you run 20 seconds, 30 seconds, I'm sure on that day, you never would have imagined yourself running 15K. And now running 15K, probably can't imagine yourself doing a marathon. But you can get there by small progress and that self-belief and just keep going.
Yeah,
you can literally achieve anything. Now, my friend, Aaron, who's a coach, he has a saying that there's a devil at every level. And I love this because there's an upper limit to everything you do. And then when you break through it, you feel like you're unstoppable until you hit that next upper ceiling, until you break through it. And that's really for me what life has become. Understanding that there's always going to be something that holds you back or something you believe you can't do until you do it, and then chase the next one. And having that mindset where it can be achieved and that you have the self-belief, be it with weight loss, be it with your career, be it with anything, is so powerful. And I can think really make a difference to your life, you know, without any doubt.
Absolutely.
So, Amy, we're running out of time, unfortunately. And I'd love to know if you have a single piece of advice or something that you would offer to anyone listening to this show today who may be wanting to lose weight or struggling with their journey. something that may help them?
A lot of people that have lost weight will, you know, give advice and say, you know, if I can do it, anybody can do it, right? But honestly, Carl, I thought I was just going to be big forever. And I could never see myself at a normal size. But when I started my journey, I said, okay, you need to get that out of your head. And you need to have a goal in your head of what you want to look like and how you want to feel. And that stayed with me. Even it does to this day throughout my whole weight loss journey. I just had a vision of myself, of what the perfect me would look like and how the perfect me would feel. And I think always envisioning that in your head from the start of your weight loss journey, and that'll give you the boost that you need.
I think that's fantastic. And yeah. I think as well, you know, having that visualization, I think it's so powerful. And not only that, something else that I work on with people and I think is a very powerful tool is to use that person, your future self, the one who's already done it, as inspiration, as somebody who can give you advice, somebody who can keep you on track. Because you'll have friends who've come to you with struggles and will say to you, I can't lose weight, and you'll encourage them, you'll reassure them, you'll boost their motivation, boost their confidence. But yet we're so bad at doing it for ourselves. You know, awful. We do all the opposite. So by having that perfect you, the way, and you know, I use the word perfect quite carefully because, you know, it's a very dangerous trap to fall into, but the happiest version of yourself.
Yeah.
And then ask that person how they did it. Ask that person what to do in times of trouble and when you're not so sure of yourself. And you'll find that the inspiration and the advice that you can get from that is really helpful. And finally, Amy, I know that you've got an incredible Instagram account, and that's how I found you, and you know, really enjoy seeing more about your journey and the things you do now. So would you like to share that with the group in terms of letting them follow you and come and see more about your journey?
Yeah, of course. So I documented the start of my weight loss journey on Instagram, and I still document to this day. So I would share my daily eats and I'd share my exercise as well. And I love just chatting to people who are kind of on their own weight loss journey. So my Instagram handle is 10 Stone Lighter. So the number 10 Stone Lighter.
I like that one. That's really good. And, you know, Like I said, just from the first time we spoke, you've got a lot of warmth about you, and I can tell you like helping people. And just by looking at your posts, it's very inspiring to people. So yeah, definitely go and have a look at that. I'll put a link in the show notes so people can come and visit you. Amy, thank you so much. It's been lovely to speak to you. Really enjoyed it.
I've had a really nice chat with you, Carl, and I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me.
Oh, not at all. You're the star of the show. Thank you for being this week's Weight Loss Warrior.
You're so welcome.
Take care of yourself. Speak soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'd also like to say a big thank you to you, our listeners. I appreciate you joining us at the Weight Loss Warrior podcast and would love that you become part of our tribe. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast to never miss a new Weight Loss Warrior tell their story. We share brand new episodes every single Monday and Thursday and hope that you join us next time. You can also find us on Instagram, where we share great tips and advice on how you can lose weight in a safe and sustainable way. Simply search for Weight Loss Warrior Podcast and follow us today. Remember, be kind to yourself and keep looking forward. You can achieve your goals.